Isaiah the prophet wrote, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This child, born of the Virgin Mary, would be Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. Isaiah would go on to refer to him as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But centuries pass. Prophets come and go, but the prophet, the promised Emmanuel, did not come. In fact, there were even 400 years where there was no prophetic word at all from God. And then, what the Apostle Paul refers to as in the fullness of time, some 700 years after Isaiah made this prophecy, when everything on earth and in heaven was just right, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the city of David. A virgin did bear a son, Emmanuel. The announcement of this extraordinary supernatural birth is made, interestingly enough, not to the seat of power, Augustus, the emperor of Rome, not even to King Herod, king of Israel, not even to the chief priests or the elders of Israel in Jerusalem. Surprisingly, it is made to a group of shepherds who are, we're told, watching their flocks in the open country around Bethlehem. And the announcement of the birth of the king is made also in a supernatural way by angels to these poor, humble shepherds. This probably really should not surprise us, because shepherds throughout Scripture have a special relationship with God. Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, was a shepherd. And he found favor, we're told, with God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all shepherds. Moses had been tending sheep as a shepherd for 40 years when God met with him and spoke to him at the burning bush and called him to be the shepherd of his people, Israel. David was tending his flock when he was called to be king or shepherd of Israel. And he later rejoiced because the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, Good Shepherd was the title that Jesus claimed for himself. Peter calls Christ the chief shepherd. Hebrews refers to him as the great shepherd of the sheep. So how appropriate and fitting it is that the announcement of the birth of the Good Shepherd, the shepherd of our souls, should be made to a band of shepherds around Bethlehem. So we read in Luke 2, verse 9, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them," that is the shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid." We're told that it was night. You can just imagine the shepherds gathered about their fires and preparing a meal and getting ready for the duties before them that night. Everything's ordinary. Everything is just like it was the day before. Their concern was the routine activity of caring for and protecting their flocks, protecting them from the predators that were all around seeking to take advantage in the darkness. But this night was different because suddenly that darkness was pierced by the glory of heaven. The peace and the quiet of the night was interrupted by an angel from God, very possibly Gabriel. We're not told his name, but Gabriel was the angel who appeared to Zacharias and also appeared later to Mary. There's a spectacular glory, a bright light that actually engulfed the shepherds. And these rugged outdoor men were filled, we're told, with fear. Quite literally, they feared with great fear. Mega fear. The glory the shepherds saw was a glory that was so spectacular, so shocking, that it brought fear like they had never known before. It was a glory that was reflective of God Himself and His glory. Think of the glory as Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He'd been with God, just been with God. And he came down from Mount Sinai and his face radiated a glory that was so bright he put a veil over his head. Can you imagine how the glory of God Himself would impact you? When Isaiah just had a vision of God's glory, he feared for his life. He thought he would die. And his response was, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." The angel didn't have to say a thing to Isaiah. He just saw God's glory and he was overwhelmed with his sinfulness. Someday, every one of us will have to stand before that holy God. He is a consuming fire. So glorious, the scripture tells us, that no one can look upon him and live. And we will have to stand before Him and face the judgment of our lives for every idle word, the Scripture says, that we have spoken. But on this night, the angel did not bring a message of judgment, did not bring a message of fear to the shepherds. Rather, he brought a message of good news. And his very first words are, "Fear not." He says, "Because I bring you good tidings of great joy." That is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It is good news. Good tidings of great joy. The world's joy is trivial. The world's joy is short-lived, centered on all too often Chinese trinkets that are soon thrown away. But the joy of the gospel, the joy that God gives, is a great joy. It is an eternal joy, now and forever. God's joy is a lasting joy that rings down through the ages. Then the cause for that joy, the angel says, is the incarnation. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The long wait for all who had been looking for the promised Messiah, promised hundreds of years before by the prophets, by Isaiah and others, that long wait was over. No doubt these humble shepherds were among those, as were Simeon and Anna and others. And to all of these, the announcement of the birth of a Savior was not just good news. It was great news and it was cause for joy and celebration. So the carol goes, "Joy to the world. The Lord has come. not in judgment, but in salvation. God's covenant promise through the centuries is fulfilled this night, the angels are saying. Jeremiah's righteous branch of David has come. Isaiah's root of Jesse is here. David's King of Glory is revealed. Haggai's desire of all nations is manifested. Zechariah's servant, the branch, who shall rule, is born. The promised seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. The seed who will bruise the serpent's head is born of Mary in the city of David and is lying in a manger. Notice, not Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, the center of religion, of worship. Not in Rome, the seat of the empire, but in insignificant, unimportant Bethlehem. Oh, yes, good tidings of great joy because a Savior is born this day. In the Old Testament, we see God coming to earth at various times in judgment. After the fall, there's the judgment at the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve are expelled from paradise, and the destruction of the world through the flood. Then wicked Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, later in the destruction of Jerusalem. In fact, twice, 586 BC and again 70 AD after Christ. There is time for judgment, and God does judge wickedness and sin and rebellion. But this is not that time. Jesus will come again someday. It's called the second advent. And he will come in power and glory, and he will judge the nations. But now, the first advent, God has come to earth to bring salvation. Jesus expressed it this way. He says, I have not come to judge, but to save. To give my life as a sacrifice for sin. This word Savior means deliverer. It means redeemer. Back in chapter 1, verse 31, when Gabriel was talking to Mary about the coming birth, announcing that she would bear a child of God, and his name would be, Gabriel said, Jesus. Jesus is a Greek equivalent of an Old Testament word you're familiar with, Joshua. They both mean Jehovah is the Savior. Gabriel told Joseph that the son that was to be born of Mary was to be named Jesus because, Gabriel said, he shall save his people from their sins. This is the reason it's good news. This is the reason for rejoicing. We need a Savior. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The condition of mankind since the fall has continually been that of sinfulness and rebellion against a holy God and His commandments. We've been in rebellion against our Creator, our rightful Master and Lord. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We willfully violated His commandments. We've even, the Psalm 2 says, we've taken counsel together against Him. We've rejected His authority. Cause for joy and rejoicing is that a Savior is born, a Redeemer has come. This child who is laid upon a wooden manger as an infant would in a few years be nailed to a wooden cross as an atonement for sin. And there he would do the work of salvation, saving his people and purchasing our redemption with his very blood. But there's something else very special about this child. The Savior that is born is God Himself. The angel says, Christ the Lord. Back in chapter 1, verse 47, Mary rejoiced after Gabriel's announcement, rejoiced in God, my Savior. Paul expresses this truth as well, and anticipating the second coming of Christ. He says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The child born of Mary, the child heralded by the angels, worshipped by the wise men, is more than just a babe in a manger, more than just a Savior. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Lord of glory. He is God incarnate, God in the flesh. He is the Christ. Christ is a New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah. Both mean anointed one. In the Old Testament, the priests were anointed with oil to their office. The prophets were anointed to be spokesmen for God. The kings were anointed to their office and called the anointed of the Lord. But Jesus was the Christ. He is the anointed one of God, the great deliverer, the promised Messiah. He was not a self-appointed Savior. He was chosen, ordained, and anointed by the living God Himself, the Father. He was appointed to be an eternal priest, an eternal prophet, an eternal king. So Jesus could rightly say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." The Father authorized and sent Jesus Christ to save sinners. As Jesus Himself said, He did not come to do His own will, but the will, the work of the Father who sent Him. We see this at His baptism. The water was poured upon the head of Jesus by the prophet John. He was anointed publicly as prophet, priest, and king, and the Father certified this by announcing from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this anointed Savior, Jesus the Christ, is able to save, Paul says, to the uttermost, them that come unto God by Him. The angel goes on and states that this child who is born, this Savior who has come, is the Lord Himself. This word Lord is used both in the Greek Old Testament and the New Testament for the Lord God of Israel. As Israel announced, the coming Messiah would be the eternal Father. Isaiah said He would be the mighty God. No wonder God sent His angels as messengers to announce His birth. The Lord of glory, the creator of the universe, has taken upon Himself flesh and has been born of the Virgin Mary and is in a manger in Bethlehem. This is the key to how Jesus can save sinners. We do not look to a baby in a manger for salvation, but to the Lord of glory, who became flesh. So John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The eternal God, the eternal Son of God, second person of the Trinity, through the virgin birth, took on humanity, so that as our kinsman, as our flesh and blood, He might redeem us. This child that is born is Christ, the Lord. He is Jesus, who is true God and true man. So the Nicene Creed puts it very emphatically. Christ Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. If the angel Gabriel, with all of his glory and power, should try to redeem us, he could not do so. He could not have borne the load of even my sins, let alone the sins of all the people of God. But if the infinite, almighty God himself, the Lord of all creation, undertakes our salvation, then the load of my guilt, the sin of my life, and the sin of all the elect of all time could be placed upon him. And such a Savior could atone for all of our sin. And just such a Savior was born in the city of David. Christ the Lord. Is he your Savior and your Lord this morning? The world does not know what it is celebrating at Christmas time. It sings the carols that contain immense biblical truth. It holds on to the symbols of the Christmas story. But the reason for the joy, the heart of the story, is lost to them. That the God of creation became one of us. The coming Christ through the Virgin Mary. The birth of a Savior. So the world has a false, empty, temporary joy. It awakens in the morning with an aching emptiness, not knowing that there could be genuine joy, not in things, but in a Redeemer who has come to save sinners. We're told that the shepherds, having heard this, hurriedly went to Bethlehem. And then in verse 20, notice the response to seeing Jesus. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. They shared the good news of the coming of a Savior. They praised God. And they were filled with joy because of what God had done. May you be filled with joy and praise for the God of our salvation as well. May you be filled with rejoicing for the salvation that he has accomplished through Christ the Lord. And may you, with the shepherds, loudly proclaim to others the good news of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who came to seek and to save those who are lost. Shall we pray?